Heavenly Father, speak to us today of your power over Satan. May we not fall into the hands of Satan or suffer from his demon possession. We do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and it's significant that not only is he healing people, he's also casting out demons. Now, when I was an ordinand, I had to go on a short course called Deliverance Ministry. The people involved with that were involved in casting out demons from people. I was told what to do. Chiefly, it was words of command. Come out of him or come out of her and so on. I've never actually done it, although I have been to New Wine, in which after a very long sort of period of preaching, people can come forward for counselling, for healing, and also for the casting out of demons. Now, sometimes men and women begin shrieking, just as it says in the Bible, and a team of people there, involved in deliverance ministry, deliver demons from them. It's an amazing thing to see, but it is very discomforting also to see and to bear. But nevertheless, this is among Jesus' first actions, casting out demons. And why so? It's essential because if Jesus was to come and establish his kingdom, he must overpower the current ruler of this world, who is none other than Satan. Jesus must have cosmic authority, authority beyond human authority, beyond this temporal world. He must have power that extends into the universe. He must have power over all the evil forces that exist in the universe. This is necessary if he is to rescue sinners from bondage. If you can use your imagination for a minute, I've only been here for 3 years, you don't really know who I am. You think I'm that wacky minister who appears from time to time. But I'm going to reveal my true colours now. I'm stronger than any of you, and I'm stronger than all of you collectively. And you have innocently come to church, some innocently to have their bands read, and you're not going to leave this church, you're going to be here forever. Don't worry about tonight. You'll be able to still watch Call the Midwife and Mr. Selfridge. There'll be medical facilities laid on. There's at least a GP in the congregation. And you'll have all the food or separate sleeping arrangements, but you will not be able to leave this place forever. How does that grab you? Disconcerting, I imagine. But nevertheless, how would you get out? You would only get out if someone stronger than me overpowered me. Now that's what Jesus did for the world, for us, to save us from our sins. So in a global sense, let's just have a look at what happened. If I could just ask Roger to flag up the first slide. There's the earth at the top there, and there's the Adam and Eve down on the bottom left-hand corner, and God is in the rainbow up there in the universe. Okay? Right, let's have a look at the next slide. You'll notice that Adam and Eve have been joined by somebody, Satan. Now, God granted the angels free will to worship him, free will to reject him, and he does that to all people today. So a group of them, led by Satan, left heaven and settled on the earth and threw a bubble around it, which means that this is the dominion of Satan. The Bible calls him the prince of this world. So, how was mankind, after the fall, going to get back to God? There's this protective bubble around it which stops them from getting there. In my analogy, it was me stopping you from getting out of the church. Satan was going to stop anybody getting to God. So how was it done? Let's have a look at the next one. the cross. Jesus died for us on the cross, for our sins, past, present and future, once and for all. Can you see the cross has pierced that bubble, and people can use it as a bridge to get to God? That's what Jesus did. He broke the power of Satan over this world. Now, Satan's power is still here in a limited form. And Satan sort of uses chance events, if you like, sudden events which appear in our lives, which actually threaten us and can consume us at times if we're not careful. And Satan, he does his best to try and prove that he doesn't exist. God is doing his best to try and show us that he does exist through Jesus, who is here today in the strength of his Holy Spirit. But Satan has got limited power. And we get that in the first reading, Isaiah. It says, "No sooner are they planted," these are the dominions of this world, "the sooner they take root, then he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff." Where's the Roman Empire? It's gone. Where's the Greek Empire? It's gone. Where's the British Empire? It's gone. They don't last. Satan's power is limited. But he does his best to shroud himself in mystery. If I can give you an example from the First World War, a German submarine was recharging its batteries on the surface when a British submarine on the surface spotted it. In that German submarine, a chef thought he was desperately in need of a smoke. So he took a pail of potato peelings, ostensibly to go up on the top while it was on the surface and throw them over the side. Got up there, as he was lighting a cigarette, he put his head down, and at the same time he noticed the wake of a torpedo coming towards the submarine. He had the presence of mind to jump over the side. Everyone on that submarine was killed. He survived. For the rest of his life, he asked the question, "Why me? Why did I survive?" Now, we as human beings would say, "You were in the right place at the right time. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time." That's not an explanation. It does not explain it at all. But that act really was go right back to the source, you go back to Satan. And he wraps himself in mystery. Now, God presents himself as a mystery. He presents himself as a mystery to be enjoyed. Satan presents himself as a puzzle to be solved. And we have to watch out for that. And this is why Paul said, "Put on the whole armor of God and stand and defend yourself against the evil one every day." Peter said he walks around like a roaring lion, ready to devour anybody. We've got to be, therefore, on our guard. Connected with this, of course, was Jesus' healing. Jesus, in fact, he walked the talk, you know, he preached what he said, and also he talked the walk. You know, his teaching sort of gave power to what he was doing. We mustn't forget, with the casting out of demons and with the healing of people in his miracles, is also his teaching. And the people actually said of his teaching that they were amazed. The Greek word, the nearest Greek word to that, is ekpleso. E-K-P-L-E-S-S-O. Ekpleso. Go into Starbucks and ask for an ekpleso. That is an espresso which will blow your mind. But that's what Jesus' teaching did for people. Quite literally, it blew their minds. They never heard anything like it. He didn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees. He spoke as one having authority. He spoke with a level of conviction that they were not used to. It looks as if he was in charge. This is the truth, and that was it. The Pharisees and the rabbis prided themselves on being able to attach themselves to the past, and they quoted various revered rabbis. Here's somebody who doesn't quote anybody. He doesn't get any theology from anybody. Indeed, the Pharisees said, where's this bloke come from? He's never been to rabbinical college. Where did he get his education? He's never been to university. Jesus got it from his father. His teaching was logical, not evasive. His teaching was reasonable, not muddled. His teaching was on essential matters, not on trivialities. His teachings were made clear by parables and stories, not confusing. They'd never heard anything like it, and that's bound up in the word amazed. It blew their minds. The scribes prided themselves on all possible views. Remember, the people were illiterate. They did not have copies of the scriptures because they were kept in scrolls in very, very private places. The church in the past made this mistake, didn't they? You know, if we were back in 1504, we'd be reading all this in Latin, and you won't be able to understand it anyway. But actually, to get it converted into English, several people had to die to do that. They were willing to put their lives on the line to get the Bible translated into English. So people in those days heard the scripture read and they had it explained to them. It was the scribes that handled the scriptures. But we believe in justification by faith, don't we? The faith of the individual matters, not what the church's traditions have to say about our salvation. So whether it was shrieking demons or healing people, Jesus dealt with them all with the same gentle, effective authority. Mark tells us that Jesus became so popular and how his ministry was actually pointing to a dramatic conclusion. It was going somewhere. He attracted the large crowds because of his authoritative teaching and his healings. They were the main reason. That in itself threatened the authorities. But there was more. Jesus joined in the struggle against the forces of evil and destruction. How did he overcome them? Well, I don't know if you remember, a few years ago, there was a disaster at sea in which a ship set sail. I think it was a ferry, or maybe a tourist ship, in which the bow doors were not closed. Do you remember that? And the water came flooding in. And there was panic on the ship. And then all of a sudden, a passenger took charge. In a clear voice, he gave orders telling people what to do. Relief mixed with panic allowed many to reach the lifeboats. But below in the hold, many people were trapped. And there was a way out across a gap which no one could seem able to cross. So he held on a ladder at one side and put his feet on another side. It became a human bridge and people walked over him. Amazing, isn't it? People walked over him and were rescued. When it was all over, it was found that this man had drowned. Isn't that tragic? Like the dark, cruel sea pouring in on top of frightened and helpless travellers, seemingly carrying all before it, Jesus formed a human bridge across which people could climb to safety, in the process giving his own life for us, for the whole world. The demons had their final shriek at him on the cross, but it was there that he completed the healing and saving work. He began that day in the synagogues when the demons shrieked, but no longer had any authority. So we must always remember that despite the frequent panic and despair in the world, it has already been claimed by the loving authority of God in Christ Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.